Sister Rich had a dream. Was it last night or the other night?
2 days.
2 days ago. I had a dream about 5:30 this morning. And actually it was two dreams and they were identical. The second dream was much shorter than the first. I think because I knew the ending of the first one, I was able to shorten the second one. I don't know. I sat there a while and thought about it, and it was startling and eye-opening. The Lord told me, I felt a nudge, I needed to share it at this hour. I thought, well, okay. And I have to open up the way and verify that this is what you want. I felt impressed to write it down so I wouldn't get it all scrambled. So if you don't mind, I'll read it. In my dream, I was secretly recruited to go along on a little amusement ride. The ride seemed enjoyable in itself, but one troubling aspect of the dream is that I was carefully guarded while I was by myself and while I was with the other recruits. No one was to escape. While with the other recruits, no one was allowed to say anything in their native language. I assumed in my dream that we recruits would have been allowed to talk to each other in the new language, so to speak, if we had known what that new language was. We all kept silent, therefore, playing along with the scheme of things. After being transported collectively to a new site, we were each taken into a little room for questioning. The lady questioning me was particularly interested in whether I had overheard her conversation with another individual I happened to know. I assured the lady that I had not heard anything of that conversation. I only knew that it had taken place. The lady seemed satisfied and started up the next phase of questioning. The next phase dealt with the proposal that I start serving her God. This naturally would require that I stop serving my God. But since her God was, in her opinion, the one true God anyway, I might as well give up my own belief and serve her God. One benefit to switching my allegiance was the enjoyment I would have in finishing the ride. The ride was supposed to be enjoyable. One thing was already bothering me before the lady took me aside for a private discussion. It was a Bible we had all been given. I don't remember the name of the translation, but it was not the same Bible I had been using for years. Thumbing through it, we all saw the red letters signifying the words Jesus would have said here on earth. The odd thing was, there was no real cover on the back of the Bible. It simply ended with red letters and then a brief explanation in chart form. It was like an abridged form of the Bible. It just truncated. This new Bible really bothered some of us, and we made facial expressions to one another expressing our disgust at the strangeness of it all. But back to my private interrogation. After assuring the lady that I had not overheard any of her conversations with anyone else, she started bearing down with the fact that I needed to make the switch in belief systems. All this while, I was laying on a couch similar to what a counselor uses, or a psychiatrist or someone like that. I looked up at her, towering above me, and explained emphatically that there was no way I was giving up serving the one true God in order to serve her God. The lady seemed a little offended when I exposed the fact that her God was not the one true God, so I poured it on even more and told her these words right before I woke. There is only one true God. There is only one way in believing in the one true God. Your way is a substitute and has to be false. Your way has to be of the devil since it is a substitute. Therefore, your way is actually worshiping the devil since all substitutes are of the devil. There is no way I'm going to give up my believing in one true God just so I can worship the devil. Lady, this conversation is over. And I woke up. The first dream was a lot longer than that. I don't remember all the details, but have you ever had a déjà vu in your dream? this was really so. The other dream, like I say, was a lot longer, and I went along for the ride a lot longer, is all I can say. I opened my eyes and realized I had dreamed quite a dream. I also remembered the other identical dream. I'm going to quit reading so much right now. But lately, something has really been impressed upon me. And I'll try to express the thought. Am I willing to allow anyone else or my attitude towards anyone else to hold me hostage to where I do not get the victory that I need? Do you understand what I'm saying? Am I willing to let someone else hinder my victory? Whatever the situation may be. That has been marked on me, almost seared into my conscience like a hot iron. That is the reality, though. I've done so. Maybe no one else has, but I doubt that. Have you ever felt hostage that way? Well, this dream actually ties into that when I begin considering it. The other day, I read a couple of chapters in Proverbs that actually dovetails into it too. And this phrase I wrote on the board, "Doth not wisdom cry," is the first verse of these two passages. You read Proverbs, see, it's Proverbs 7 and Proverbs 8. It describes the two pathways. And I live both of them in the dream. But let me get to another point first before we turn to Proverbs. I'd like to expose a few tricks of the enemy. This dream was nothing more than a very spiritual parable to me. And I read it loud and clear. But I'd like to put forth 5 points here. Number one, a promise of a fun ride. Beware of falling for anything that feels exciting and is brand new. The devil has a way of stringing us along from point to point, from place to place, promising us something better just around the next corner. Number two, intellectual reasoning seems so reasonable and righteous. This could be bordering towards fanaticism or compromise, or let me insert this, anything to pet my wounded spirit or my grievance, whatever it might be. Do you realize there are a multitude of spirits standing at every street corner ready to latch on to anything I'm not willing to get rid of? We may not see them with our physical eyes, that they're there at every street corner. How do I know? I've met them. I've conversed with them. Reasoned with them. Number three, a new translation of the Bible that leaves off the ending and changes the wording throughout the Bible. The whole Bible you and I are reading spells out heaven or hell. Which will it be? The ending of the Bible in Revelations points out rather emphatically that the devil will lose his last battle and end up in the lake of fire. This Bible that we were all handed wasn't quite as thick, and it seemed to, I think it maybe had most of the Gospels, but it ended. I don't know the significance of that. But the rest of the Bible had a lot of the wording changed. I can't tell you what words or where or anything. But aside from merely talking about Bible translations, you and I can meet up with all sorts of new ways of interpreting the Scriptures. Have you ever met with that? I have. Is it real? Absolutely. But they have to leave out part of the Bible, change the wording. But I won't belabor that point anymore. Number four, strict orders were given to the recruits to not talk with each other. We'll get into this in Proverbs. But have you noticed that a spirit that is not of God wants to deal in secrecy? I've known that up here, but now I know it here in my heart. Sometimes we have to learn firsthand. I wish it wasn't so, but it is. We weren't allowed to use our native language, meaning the language of God, the language of love, of righteousness. We had to use the new language, whatever that was. I didn't know the new tongue, so we and all the others pretty well kept silent. The devil wants to isolate. You ever felt isolated? If you feel that way, watch out. Number five, the private counseling sessions encouraging us to switch to a better belief system. I have had numerous conversations after looking back on it, realizing that the whole purpose was to get me to switch my belief system. Have you ever met with anything like that? If you haven't, you will. I promise. Now, Proverbs 7 and Proverbs 8. The main thing I want to point out, I don't know that I'll read it all, but it basically describes how Solomon discerned a young man falling into a trap. I'll read just part of it. For at the window of my house, I'm starting at verse 6, I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. I don't know why the person questioning me happened to be a lady. She was a very domineering lady. I represent that as a spirit told of in this chapter. Passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house. And in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. We know the rest of the story. She seduced him, basically assured him that the goodman would be gone a while, would be back at the appointed time. How many business trips have been cut short where someone turned around for their briefcase or their suitcase or anything else? This could have happened in this case. We don't know when the Lord's going to return. Anyway, I considered all that when I read this, and then I happened to read the 8th chapter. And it was like a light switch went off. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. And again, I won't read through the rest of the chapter, but it basically says the same. But reading this the other day, I realized where I had been slipping up. I had been listening to the voice that slipped around secretly, instead of listening only to the voice that wasn't ashamed to cry out on the rooftops and at every corner in broad daylight. This is where I'm at. This is where we are at. In 2010, whether I like it or not, this is where we're at. And this is what's happening. But I'm comforted that I can listen to the right voice. I can end the dream early or the nightmare early by simply refusing and exposing the devil for where he's really at. I woke up. The dream was over. I knew it was for me, and it's for us. And now I want to tell them myself. Brother Dan Doolittle did that a few years, or last year I believe it was. I appreciate his openness. Thank you. But for some time, let me back up. Have you ever had a circumstance in life that didn't go just exactly like you thought it ought to? If you're human, that's happened. It'll happen again, probably many times. I think the definition of an adult is thinking that I'm old enough to have my own way, but finally realizing I can't. Now you're really an adult. Some time back, a situation come along in life that did not go like I thought it ought to. And was I sincere in that belief? Probably as sincere as you have been, if you've ever met situations like that. So you know what I'm talking about. The problem was that I started listening a little bit to the wrong voice here and there. Started straying off of the path just a little bit. And what happens when you start getting off just a little bit? What happens when you hit the rumble strips on the highway? Does it throw you back onto the highway? It pulls you, doesn't it? If you haven't, maybe just tease them a little bit to try it, but be real careful. It will pull you. I hit rumble strips. Some highways have soft shoulders. There are all sorts of hazards at the edge. Sometimes there's a little step off. You have to be real careful trying to get back on the roadway. A man recently perished by doing that. He tried to get back on the roadway and overcorrected and flipped and killed him. Very tragic. A lot of things, a lot of dangers are present at the edge. Anyway, get back to my story. Things didn't go like I thought they ought to, which is well and good, but dangerous. I didn't realize it so much then. But as years went on, you know what sidled right up next to me? Other hurts or disappointments or whatever you would call it that could identify right where I was at. Surprise? Shock? No. I didn't really see it at the time. I took that as confirmation of my position. You ever had that happen? Well, it can happen. As time went on, the situation got worse and worse. I might throw this in. The Lord speaks to me in dreams sometimes, and they are as real as you are before me and I am before you, just as stark. That's not the only way the Lord speaks to me. But in this one, my wife was involved, and I've never told her this dream. She's about to hear it for the first time. In fact, I don't know that I've really told anyone. But I have a purpose in telling it. I don't think it'll offend her or anyone else. Shame on the devil. But in my dream, I was on the gospel wagon, you might say, sitting on the tailgate, going along, and my wife jumped off and started running along behind, and I reached out my hand to her to kind of help get her back on, but she started lagging farther and farther behind. And I hopped off to try to get her back on, and I asked her, "Well, honey, what's going on?" And I don't remember the exact words, but the meaning was basically she was hurt because I was hurt. And the interpretation of the dream was that because of my hurt, she could lose her soul. Has she had battles? Absolutely. Has she overcome? Yes. She'll tell you herself. In fact, she overcame before I did. I don't want to belabor the story, but this has actually been true life. So many of the warnings that the Lord has given me in my dreams have already come to pass or are happening right now. So I have learned to not discount them or throw them aside. To make a long story short, I come down to the altar yesterday, not for my eye that was giving me trouble, the headaches that was giving me eye trouble, but I felt that I needed healing in my spirit, and I felt the Lord would meet me there. I hadn't planned on doing that, but the Lord impressed upon me that I could get some help. And I have sought for help from time to time. But sometimes things need to come full circle. Before I tell the end of this, I want to relate a few other events that happened in my young life that haunted me off and on for years. But the Lord finally helped me to understand that I could go back and make those right. These were things that happened in my youth. I have, by the grace of God, to my understanding, made those right. This one thing remained. I didn't see how I could ever do it. But I'm about to right now. For several years, seven to be exact, isn't that a long time? I have belabored under a weight that dogged my every step. It shouldn't have, but through my ignorance and self-righteous attitude, maybe, well-being, or, you know, how do I word it? Thinking I was doing the right thing. I petted that thing. And problem was, it really didn't pet me back. You ever had a clap on the back that just kind of beat the breath out of you? I put this out as a warning to anyone else, that you don't have to go down this same path. Get your help earlier and recognize the signs. Recognize Proverbs 7 and Proverbs 8. If anything comes slipping around trying to lure you, another word, trying to sympathize with the way you're feeling, be very careful. Be very careful. I didn't realize the trap I was stepping into. Brother Ed, Sister Roberta, I owe you a public apology. I've talked with you privately some about this, but I feel the time has come to make it public and expose the devil for where he really works. It doesn't necessarily have to be between the pastorate and members of the congregation. It can be between brother and brother, sister and sister, fellow ministers one with another. Let your imagination roll. It doesn't matter. To make a long story short, just as I told the devil in the dream last night, the conversation is over. This conversation I've been petting for 7 years is over. Thank the Lord. But a word of warning, it's not over for the church. There are so many little avenues the devil has already succeeded in worming in here and there. You probably know of a lot of them. You probably don't know of all of them. No one person can. But this is where we're at. what are we going to do? We can cut the dream or the nightmare short, but it is up to us. Privately petting a private hurt won't do it, but real openness will. And I found in this short version of the dream, cutting the devil off at the pass actually worked. It really worked. I'm thankful for the dream, for the wake-up call the Lord has sent me. I want to say this too. These type of things can start off really, really small. Almost over nothing. But the problem is, it grows unless the devil is cut off at the pass. The fact that the folks involved in this little trap, in this dream, were not allowed to converse with one another in their native language scares me. Do you get where this is going? Just as the Israelites felt forced to not fight Goliath en masse, they felt they had to agree to the enemy's terms, that one man go fight the enemy. Are you with me? Why did they agree to that? They didn't have to. I think I know why. They knew that an all-out battle would ensue. But the reality is, 100 men could have faced Goliath. He could have said, no fair, but that's all he could have said. The devil wants you and I to fight him privately and individually. That hasn't been happening in this meeting. Have you noticed the afternoon services? A little different this year. All the services. The devil's not done yet, but the Lord isn't either. But the reason for this little burden is to zero in on something. The devil is trying to pull all of us apart privately to fight the devil one-on-one instead of as a group. We can fight him as a group. Not that our little group is the only folks serving God. I'm not meaning that. I'm meaning folks that are in close proximity and are on the same ship or, you know, in the same situation. I don't know why we agreed in the dream to keep quiet, but we shouldn't keep quiet. Doesn't the Bible tell us to encourage one another, to neglect not the assembling of ourselves together, so much more as the day approaches? Let iron sharpen iron. There are all kinds of scriptures. And I would like for you all to share some of those that the Lord has shared with you. Saints, we have a battle on our hands. We have a real battle. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but it's very serious. The devil knows it's serious. He knows he's about at the end of his rope. Sister Rich had a dream that maybe it was just for her that she was close to the end. I doubt it. I really think all of us are real close to the end. I'm not going to say when. None of us can. But we're so close. That's why the devil's fighting like he is. I don't know what else to say. I'm going to sit down, but Lord, help us. Have mercy on us. The devil can be defeated, but it's up to our decision. Pray for me.